20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Monday, Packers Nation. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for being so kind as to join me here today, whether you're on the audio channel or the video channel. Always appreciate you guys a ton. If you are on the video channel, it is a little bit of a sad day. As I'm recording this, it is likely, if all goes according to plan, the very last episode with Bart Starr behind me. New studio should be here on Tuesday. I am recording this very early on Friday morning, so I hope you had a great weekend. I'm just gearing up for mine as I'm recording this. But in order to get ready for that new studio, needed to record a few episodes in advance. But yeah, today's the last day in the studio as is. I'm hoping everything looks amazing. And if everything goes according to plan, Tuesday's episode of Justice Mosqueda will be the reveal of the new backdrop here in the Pack-A-Day studio. Today, though, we're going to be looking back at the 2024 Packers free agency. Now, free agency is one thing. I don't know if you remember this. Right before the start of the season, the Packers made a certain trade for Micah Parsons, and that was freaking awesome. Gave up two first-round picks in Kenny Clark. I know he had the ACL in season. You can't predict that. You do that trade a billion times out of a billion. It was a massive swing for Brian Gutekunst, and all indicators up until the torn ACL were that it was worth it all day, every day, twice on Sundays, literally. He was phenomenal. He was absolutely phenomenal. So that was a huge part of the 2024 offseason. And Brian Gutekunst deserves a ton of credit for making that move. A ton of credit. That was a generational trade. I think it's still going to pay huge dividends for Green Bay. And I still wholeheartedly believe that Micah Parsons, along with Jordan Love and the rest of this team, have the ability to drive this team to a Super Bowl. Whether they can do it, we will wait and see. But I love that trade. I love it still today, even post-ACL. And I think that, again, Goody deserves a ton of credit for that specific move. However, prior to that move was free agency. And Brian Gutekunst was extremely active. Rewind to very beginning of the offseason in 2024. It was Brian Gutekunst who kind of called out everyone in the entire organization and said, it's time to start winning championships. It is time to start winning championships. He's pretty adamant about it. And so we were all kind of, all right, what's Goody going to do? What's Goody going to do? We're going to wait and see what he was going to do in free agency. And free agency comes, and he makes two significant moves in free agency and two relatively minor moves in free agency. Those four moves were Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, Mecole Hardman, which came on March 20th, and Isaiah Simmons later on in value free agency after the draft on April 29th. Aaron Banks was a significant signing. Nate Hobbs was a fairly significant signing. Mecole Hardman and Isaiah Simmons were very minimal free agent signings, a one-year flyer. The crazy thing is, regardless of how you felt about those deals at the time, you had every right to give Brian Gutekunst the benefit of the doubt up until that time. His very first free agency was a miss. Jimmy Graham did not work out at all. Brutal signing. I think it was like 3 years, $30 million. He was past his prime. Somehow, even after, when Jimmy Graham went to Chicago after, played better than he did in Green Bay. It was a swing and a miss. It did not work out. I think we were all excited for it, bringing in a big-time weapon for Aaron Rodgers at the time. Rodgers loved it. You could tell he was so excited to have Jimmy Graham. He was like a kid in a candy store when Jimmy Graham first got here, and it just didn't work. They also brought in Mo Wilkerson. That was expected to be a big move. It was a relatively cheap deal that they got him for, but he was supposed to solidify their defensive line. He gets injured right away. They did bring back Tremont Williams. That worked out pretty well, but overall, a pretty big miss in his first free agency. Then free agency year two, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, Billy Turner. Za'Darius was really an Aaron Banks-esque swing. It was a player who had shown signs, but had not put it all together, who was coming off the first contract, fifth year in the league, and is coming off his best year. And Green Bay said, he's going to come to Green Bay, or, you know, Goody said he's going to come to Green Bay and play the best football of his career. And he did. He was unbelievable in 2019 and then a really good year in 2020. And then things fell apart after that. But those first 2 years, especially that first year, were unbelievable for Zadarius. Preston Smith, at minimum, performed up to, if not surpassed, expectations with the contract that they gave him, as did Adrian Amos. And Billy Turner, another swing. You know, he had some signs and moments prior to Green Bay, but played his best football of his career as a member of the Green Bay Packers. A massive free agent haul for Brian Gutekunst. The next offseason, he didn't have much money to spend because he spent all of it in the previous offseason. He gets Christian Kirksey. That was okay. Probably, you know, below average signing, but it was okay. Rick Wagner was a big time signing. Kind of got him on a very cheap sort of swing tackle deal. He ended up starting a bunch of games for Green Bay and played very well. That was a big time signing. He helped Green Bay a ton. Then they brought in Devin Funchess, who ended up sitting out the year and then didn't work out the following year. That one just didn't work out. The following year, again, still didn't have any money to spend. Now we're in, you know, sort of the COVID, trying to catch up, and the salary cap's in a, you know, just an absolute mess. He has no money. So he goes out and gets one value free agent, which is Devondre Campbell, who goes on to have a first team All-Pro season. Huge move for Goody there. The following year, again, still catching up from post-COVID, Jerron Reed is the biggest free agent sign. He was solid. Like, he was, for what money they had to spend and what they spent on Jerron Reed, he was a solid free agent defensive tackle signing. Keyshawn Nixon, 1 year vet minimum, $0 signing bonus, goes on to have, you know, a real solid career. I know you don't like him as a number one corner, nor do I, but overall what they got out of him since that time has been an incredible value. And Nixon getting that first year on a 1 year vet minimum goes on to be a two-time All-Pro returner, technically a Pro Bowl corner as well. Great signing there for Goody. And then Sammy Watkins just didn't work out, but it was a vet, not a vet minimum, but it was a very, very small deal for Sammy Watkins. Just didn't work out. That's fine. Sometimes it's going to happen. Following offseason, again, catching up from COVID stuff, they signed Jonathan Owens. He was a fine backup-ish safety. Matt Orzech, they got their long snapper. Tre'Davious Moore did not work out. They ended up cutting him before the start of the regular season. Then he finally has money to spend again. Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, two awesome, huge signings. And then, of course, we get to 2025. And it's Nate Hobbs, Isaiah Simmons, Mecole Hardman, and Aaron Banks. And again, up until that point, when he had big time money to spend, his recent signings had been Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, Zadarius Smith, Preston Smith, and Adrian Amos. That, like, he deserved every benefit of the doubt to say, hey, you think Aaron Banks is going to be good and you want to spend that money on him? All right, because you've hit on all these guys, at least as of late. And when he goes value free agent shopping, guys like even Jonathan Owens, Matt Orzech, Keyshawn Nixon, you know, Jerron Reed, Rick Wagner, Devondre Campbell, Billy Turner to an extent, he did well in those sort of markets too. So you look at it, and maybe on paper you weren't super thrilled about Hobbs, Simmons, Hardman, and Banks. But again, Goody deserved the benefit of the doubt. That said, I think pretty much everyone to a T looked at the Banks deal and I was like, whew, that is a huge contract for Aaron Banks. And then I think everyone looked at the Nate Hobbs contract and is like, whew, that is a pretty big contract for Nate Hobbs. And there were some immediate questions there. And I'll just, before I say anything else, I will say I didn't love the Hobbs signing, but I was probably higher than most on the Aaron Banks signing. My memory serves, I still was like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I don't know if I would have gone there with the money, but I was higher than most on Aaron Banks coming from San Francisco. I really liked his tape in that final year when he was healthy. He has had trouble staying healthy. That is noteworthy as well, but I liked it probably more than most. And while I didn't like it for 4 years, $77 million, I thought it was going to work out better, certainly, than it did this past year. Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs were pretty significant swings for Brian Gutekunst and pretty significant misses in a year where I'm not saying that this was a complete all-in offseason, but where you give two first-round picks for Micah Parsons plus Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons, and you sign two big-time free agents, mean, Aaron Banks was a massive free agent signing. We'll get to that in a moment. And Hobbs was a pretty significant one. Those are three significant moves that you're trying to upgrade your team. And Parsons was unbelievable until he got hurt. And Banks and Hobbs were not, in a pretty noteworthy way. Let's start with Aaron Banks. Just to give you an idea of the type of contract that he signed in 2025 free agency, he got an overall $77 million deal. There were only four players in 2025 in free agency who got more than that, signing with new teams. Milton Williams got $104 million. Sam Darnold got $100.5 million. Will Fries got $87.7 million. And Dan Moore got $82 million. Those are the only four free agents that got more overall money in their contract than Aaron Banks. But that doesn't tell the whole story. What about average value of the contract? Banks got $19.25 million per year. That was the seventh highest contract given in free agency to a player. The first was Sam Darnold at $33.5 million, Milton Williams at $26 million, Devontae Adams at $22 million, Stephon Diggs at $21.2 million, Dan Moore at $20.5 million, Justin Fields at $20 million, and then Aaron Banks at $19.25 million. He was the seventh highest paid free agent in average value per year in 2025. The one thing I will say is Green Bay did stay pretty low on the guarantees. He only got $27 million guaranteed overall in that contract, which was only the 22nd highest free agent signing when it came to guaranteed money. However, let me just ask you this. What is the benefit of not giving guaranteed money? That's your pop quiz for the day. The benefit of not giving guaranteed money is if the player doesn't work out, you can get out of the deal relatively inexpensively and you don't have to continue to pay the large cap hits. Well, Green Bay decided after a pretty poor Aaron Banks season, we're not going to get off the contract. In fact, not only are we going to keep him in 2026, we're going to restructure his contract in a way where it almost guarantees that he's going to be back in 2027 and now gave him more guaranteed money. So the one thing that they baked into Aaron Banks' contract that was actually pretty smart and pretty well done doesn't even matter anymore because they are now basically making it that he's going to be on the contract at least 3 years of the deal. And he's going to get a huge chunk of that overall $77 million, even if he's released after year two, there's going to be a pretty exorbitant cost to him. But in all likelihood, he's at minimum probably going to get 3 of the 4 years of that deal. That is a big time major contract for Aaron Banks. 4 years, $77 million, which it is now trending more and more like he is going to get the vast majority, if not all, of that deal in the end. We'll be right back. The other thing to look at is contract length. Only Will Fries got a longer deal than Aaron Banks. We had 5 years. Nate Hobbs, Cam Bynum, Josh Sweat, Aaron Banks, Dan Moore, and Milton Williams were the only ones with four-year deals. That's a Green Bay thing. They like giving out those four-year deals. But he was one of only a handful that got a four-year deal. And again, only Will Fries got more in the five-year deal. If you look at the interior offensive line market, all right, Aaron Banks topped it out at $19.25 million, followed by Will Fries at $17.54. This is per year. Drew Dolman was number three at $14 million per year. Patrick McCurry at $12.5 mil. Mekhi Becton at 10. Zeitler at 9. Kevin Zeitler, former Wisconsin Badger, Tennessee Titan last year. Ryan Kelly, the Minnesota Viking, at 9. James Daniels at 8. Robert Hainsey at 7. Coleman Shelton at 6, Alex Kappa at 5.5, Garrett Bradbury at 4.75, Lakin Tomlinson at 4.25, Robert Jones at 3.75, Tevin Jenkins at just over $3 million, and Josh Myers at $2 million. Those were your interior offensive linemen that signed last year. If you look, and I understand, I get it, PFF's not everything. If you look at PFF, Aaron Banks had a 55.6 grade per PFF a season ago. Will Fries, the next player on that list, played 172 more snaps than Aaron Banks did, had a 61.8 PFF grade. Not a great year for Fries, if we're being honest, but 5.2 points better per PFF than Banks and played over 170 more snaps than Banks. Drew Dolman, $14 million per year, played 500 more snaps than Aaron Banks and had a 72.6 PFF grade. Again, Banks was 55.6. Not to mention, if you bring Dolman in, guess who gets to stay at left guard? Elgton Jenkins. And you paid Aaron Banks $5.25 million more per year. Now, willing to give Goody a little accident forgiveness on this one for two reasons. One, there are multiple, I don't know if I want to say full reports, but there's a lot of buzz that Drew Dolman did take less money because he wanted to go to Chicago and play with Ben Johnson. I don't know if that's true. I don't know that Drew Dolman would have turned down an extra $5.25 million per year over a four-year contract, an additional $22 million in order to take that deal, but he might have. He might have just wanted to go to Chicago. There is, again, buzz surrounding that. The other thing is Drew Dolman now retired. So it would have been great for a year, but he would have retired. You could still make the argument, hey, you get the 1 year of really great play from Drew Dolman, then Chicago doesn't get Drew Dolman, and now you have the cap savings because Drew Dolman retired. You're probably going to get the majority of that savings. Even better, now he can go out and do something different than, again, what Aaron Banks was. So I'm willing to give a little bit of accident forgiveness there for Goody, but Drew Dolman would have been a heck of a pickup. And again, it would have been able to keep Elgton Jenkins at left guard as well. Patrick McCarrie had a 51.8 grade. He had a rough year. Mekhi Becton had a brutal year, 37.1 PFF grade. How about Kevin Zeitler? Even on a bad Tennessee Titans team, Zeitler played, despite being older, way older than Aaron Banks, Zeitler played about 80 more snaps and had a 74.5 PFF grade, almost 19 points better than what Aaron Banks did. And you could have got Zeitler on the one-year deal, 1 year, $9 million. You paid Zeitler $9 million. You paid Banks $77 million. Could have saved some money and got the better guard. And then again, just moved on after the year if you wanted to. Ryan Kelly, $9 million per year. He had an 82.2 PFF grade, but only played in 329 snaps, suffered multiple concussions, and also retired this offseason. James Daniels barely played. I think he got hurt, if I remember correctly, but he only played three snaps. The next two are interesting too. Robert Hainsey was a center, got a three-year, $21 million deal, played 1,006 snaps with a 61.0 PFF grade. He was fine at center, but about almost, 4.5 points better and from a PFF grade standpoint than Banks was, and only $21 million rather than the $77 million, made $56 million less, and again, would have been able to keep Elgton Jenkins at left guard in that scenario. Coleman Shelton, 2 years, $12 million, had 1,334 snaps a year ago, played over 500 more snaps than Aaron Banks did, and had a 70.9 PFF grade, 15.3 points better than Aaron Banks. And as a center, would have allowed Elgton Jenkins to stay at left guard. Alex Kappa didn't do much. Garrett Bradbury, who I don't think any Packers fan is a super big fan of or thinks highly of. Even Garrett Bradbury played 1,334 snaps, a 59.8 grade, so 4.2 points better than Aaron Banks, and was on a two-year $9.5 million deal instead of a four-year $77 million deal. Would have been able to keep Jenkins at left guard, and you just got a pick from Chicago too. I don't know if that deal would have taken place with Chicago in this scenario since it's, sort of odd bedfellows, but not the worst idea even there for Garrett Bradbury. Tomlinson didn't do much. Jones didn't do much. Myers, yes, he got a contract extension. He did not have a great year in New York either. Tevin Jenkins would have been the other one. He was somebody I wanted last year in free agency. He only played 324 snaps, but when he played well, 77.7 PFF grade. Let's just say there were better options out there for Green Bay. Will Fries, or Will Fries, I should say, Drew Dolman. Again, we can argue it out. Kevin Zeitler, Robert Hainsey, Coleman Shelton, even Garrett Bradbury, maybe Tevin Jenkins. Almost any of those would have been better than a four-year, $77 million deal for Aaron Banks. Do we get the benefit of hindsight with some of this? You bet we do. But even in the moment, it felt like an overpay for Banks, and it looks even more so now. As I mentioned, $19.25 million for Aaron Banks was the top of the market. Will Fries went for $17.5 million. This year, if you look at this year's 2026 interior offensive line class, Tyler Linderbaum was insane, right? 3 years, $81 million, got $27 million per year. He's in his own stratosphere. The Raiders overpaid him, but they had a ton of money and they really wanted him. And that's how they got him. So that's the Linderbaum story. But after that, David Edwards, really good guard, goes to New Orleans, 4 years, $61 million, 15.25. The top guard on the market this year, Edwards, who has played better, is older, but has played better than Aaron Banks, got $16 million less a year later on a four-year deal than what Aaron Banks got. Zion Johnson is considered sort of the crazy Aaron Banks deal of 2026. The Cleveland Browns gave him the deal. And you know what they gave him? 3 years, $49.5 million, $16.5 million per year. Again, Banks got 19.25. Elijah Vera Tucker hurt a lot, right? But still young, very talented. 3 years, $42 million. Isaac Seumalo, Pittsburgh Steeler, older, but really good, solid guard. He goes 3 years, 31.5. Tyler Biadasz at center, 3 years, 30. John Simpson, 3 years, 30. Cade Mays, 3 years, 25. Braden Smith, 2 years, 20. Wyatt Teller, I think it was 2 years, 23. Austin Schlottman, 2 years, 7. Besides Linderbaum, everybody went less than what Aaron Banks did last year. It's not like even the cap went up at guard and now you're looking like, oh, Banks is actually a steal on that kid. No, the contract looks even worse. Either way, just take Linderbaum out of the equation because he's such a one-off. They had better options in 2025. And again, even looking at the market in 2026, that contract has not aged well in any way, shape, or form. And it's not just that. Players that played well last year that Green Bay could have signed, theoretically using the same money, Will Fries, who again had a 61.8 PFF grade, Josh Sweat, 74.2. Now, maybe he just wanted to play with Jonathan Gannon. That's a story. So maybe they wouldn't have had a chance to get him one way or the other. And if they signed Sweat, they probably went to trade it for Micah. So we can butterfly effect that one a little bit. Treverius Ward missed a little bit of time, but when he played really, really well. 77.1 PFF grade for the Colts last year. Carlton Davis, full-time starting corner for the AFC champion New England Patriots, had a 74.0 PFF grade, only $18 million per year. So again, less than Aaron Banks made. Drew Dahlman, we talked about. Malik Collins, 10 mil per year, 74.5 PFF grade. Puna Ford was unbelievable at defensive tackle, 9.2 million per year, 86.0 PFF grade. Kevin Zeitler, we talked about. Milt Williams, even if you wanted to go Milton Williams, you could have taken the Hobbs and the Banks deal and tore those up and went and got Milton Williams at 26 million per year and still had money to spend. Still would have had money to spend. Would have only taken about Banks is 19 mil per year, so that's 7 left over. Hobbs got 12 mil per year. So you still have about 5 million left over to go out and spend by not having Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks and going and getting Milton Williams, one of the highest paid players in the market last year, and still having money to spend. Crazy to think about. Meanwhile, Nate Hobbs, also rough deal. And now, not only that, but they have now released him. He is now a San Francisco 49er. So you got 1 year out of Nate Hobbs. Two things sort of happened, or one of these things happened. Either A, they planned on primarily playing him in the slot and Javon Bullard just took his job, or they planned on playing him on the outside and Hobbs just was not up to it. I think it's the latter, but I think both played a factor. Hobbs is no longer needed in the slot at all because of Javon Bullard and his play, and he struggled mightily on the outside. If you look at corners last year, Nate Hobbs had the sixth highest overall value for cornerbacks behind Byron Murphy, Treverius Ward, Carlton Davis, Paulson Adebo, and DJ Reed. Actually, he was tied with DJ Reed for overall value, although he had a four-year deal, Reed had a three-year deal. We'll be right back. Overall value, four corners at $54 million and then Reed and Hobbs at $48 million. If you look at average value, Byron Murphy, Traverius Ward, Carlton Davis, and Paulson Adebo all got $18 million per year. DJ Reed got $16 million. And then in sixth place was Nate Hobbs and Brandon Stevens, both at $12 million per year. If you look at guaranteed money, Adebo, Ward, Murphy, Carlton Davis, DJ Reed, and then Brandon Stevens, as well as Jordan Lewis, all got more guaranteed money. Hobbs was the eighth most guaranteed money of any corner in the market last year. If you look at the corner market, here is who was signed last year. Byron Murphy, 3 years, 54. Traverius Ward, 3 years, 54. Carlton Davis, 3 years, 54. Paulson Adebo, you guessed it, 3 years, 54. DJ Reed, 3 years, 48. Brandon Stevens, 3 years, 36. Nate Hobbs, 4 years, 48. Darius Slay, 1 year, 10 million. Christian Fulton, 2 years, 20 million. Jordan Lewis, 3 years, 30 million. Dante Jackson, 2 years, 13 million. Mike Hughes, 3 years, 18 million. Isaiah Rogers, 2 years for 11 million. Jonathan Jones, 1 year, 5.5 million. And Eric Stokes, 1 year, 3.5 million. That one's a real kick in the groin because Green Bay, after 4 years of Eric Stokes, clear starter as a rookie, at least once Jair went down, he became the clear starter as a rookie. The next 2 years, he gets a bunch of injuries, doesn't play. But in 2024, they gave Eric Stokes the unquestioned starting job. And Stokes had every opportunity to play well, and he didn't. And so Green Bay finally decided they were going to move on. And then Stokes goes and has his best season of his career with the Raiders last year. Four corners, though, that I think, or at least a handful of these corners, I'll just put it that way. Traverius Ward, you give a little bit more money and you get him. Imagine maybe not doing Banks, but maybe getting Kevin Zeitler. But then you get Traverius Ward at corner. Imagine Ward and Zeitler instead of Banks and Hobbs. Seems better. Jordan Lewis is another one that I want to look at. 3 years, $30 million, $10 million per year. Got 2 years less per year than what Nate Hobbs did. Lewis can play both outside and inside. Lewis had 612 snaps with a 67.2 grade. Almost doubled the snaps and had a, you know, almost 5.5 better grade per PFF. Dante Jackson, 2 years, $13 million. He got almost in total money what, you know, he would, you know, Nate Hobbs was getting on a per year basis. Dante Jackson played 629 snaps with a 70.8 PFF grade. And then the big one, and this again is very much benefit of hindsight, but Isaiah Rogers from Minnesota, 2 years, $11 million, $5.5 million per year, played 963 snaps with a 73.8 PFF grade. And even Eric Stokes, 1 year, $3.5 million, played 1,037 snaps with a 73.6 PFF grade. Once again, I get benefit of hindsight, but there were a lot of other corners who well outperformed Nate Hobbs from a year ago. And even this year, cornerback market did not take drastic steps. In fact, it took a step back. And if you want to look at some, Jamel Dean, I know he's been hurt, but a really good starting outside corner, 3 years, $36.75 million, $12 million per year, basically, what Nate Hobbs got a year ago as a inside corner slash, I guess, somebody who wanted to play outside, but it just never worked out that way. Reek Woolen this offseason, 1 year, $12 million. They paid Nate Hobbs $18 million for his 1 year last year. Just about $18 million, just under $18 million. And oh, by the way, Nate Hobbs to go play for the 49ers this offseason, $4 million on a one-year deal. $4 million on a one-year deal. To add some insult to injury, Isaiah Simmons and Mecole Hardman both didn't make the team. Even the value free agent signings didn't hit. Even worse, Simmons goes and gets a gig with the Panthers right before the playoffs. Has 114 special team snaps with an 83.1 special teams grade. We all talked about what a stud he could be on teams. Well, he was, and now he's got a new contract with Carolina. If you look at what overall Green Bay paid, again, Nate Hobbs, they paid almost $18 million for his 358 snaps a year ago. Even if the Packers were to cut Aaron Banks after this year, which is exceedingly unlikely based on the contract restructure, they will have paid him $47 million for his 2 years of play. $47 million, $23.5 million per year for those 2 years of play. And likely he's going to end up playing 3 years at least for Green Bay. If you look at everything together, even Hardman and Simmons, they gave a combined $317.5 $317,000 to, so $317,500 to in signing bonus money that they lose out on. The 1 year of Nate Hobbs, 2 years of Aaron Banks, and 0 years of Hardman and Simmons cost them about $65 million total. If you're wondering what that could have got you in free agency this year, John Franklin Myers, the top interior defensive lineman, got 3 years, $63 million. You would have had $2 million left over to spend if you didn't sign anybody in free agency last year. You could have got Jonathan Franklin Myers and had $2 million left over. Jalen Watson, the really good corner coming over from KC to go to the Rams, got 3 years, $51 million. You could have signed him and had $14 million left over. Suffice to say, the 2025 free agency class for Goody was a gigantic nightmare. It was a big swing. It was a huge miss, and it cost Green Bay in a significant way. Nate Hobbs can no longer help Green Bay. There is no coming back from that one. They paid him almost $18 million for 1 year of crappy play, and now he's gone, and he's a San Francisco 49er for super cheap. Aaron Banks can still salvage a little bit of this. Banks goes out and has a really nice remainder of his time in Green Bay. You could look back and say, it wasn't a good signing, it wasn't a great signing, but he ended up being all right. There's still some possibility there. But barring a almost all-pro-esque run from Aaron Banks at guard, this is going to go down, hopefully, as Goody's worst free agent class, and one that legitimately could have cost Green Bay significantly as they've tried to make a run in this window in 2025, 2026, and 2027. That's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Hanel, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelstinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilt Zillertson, Large Charles, Jay Kohner, Will Glass, and Imperium Collectibles. Shout out to Bart Starr. Goodbye, Bart. It's been wonderful having you behind me this entire time on the YouTube channel. Almost the entire time. It was a little bit after I started, but excited for what's to come next. I'll see you guys on Tuesday with that brand new, see you tomorrow, I guess that is, with a brand new studio, if all things go according to plan. Looking forward to it. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.